Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Let's get it on!
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. And however you're listening to us right now, AM, FM, Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, TuneIn, iHeart, iTunes. Just want to say thank you for making us the most listened to daily professional wrestling and mixed martial arts program in the world. And I'm Mike Sempervivi, back here with you. Don't worry, though. I'm not solo. Don't worry. Josh Nason's not here. If you don't like Josh Nason, Ed in San Antonio. Josh isn't here either. But I do have a fine replacement, especially on a day like this. Last night, I had a couple of fantasy football drafts, because that's what us Americans do. Actually, realistically, that's what most of our listenership does, because they're usually the ones that are outside of the North America or in Ireland, they're in England, they're in Germany. They're playing fantasy football as well, except it's the original game. But I had two drafts, and I didn't have a chance to turn on Raw until 10 o'clock, where I was met by the incredible wonderment that was the old day segment, which turned into Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, which turned into Alicia Fox and Nia Jax having a confrontation, which turned into the thespian that is Sasha Banks, which turned into something else, and then I just turned it off. Then we got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and that was cool, but I was thinking, I don't want to talk about this today. I just don't want to talk about that show. We can, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529, but with the Hidden Gems debuting on the network, with a little bit of talk about this last couple days, the last Battle of Atlanta, will it be the whole tape? The Holy Grail, one of the Holy Grails of tapes that have never been seen, never made its way out there. There was always a rumor that this match between Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer, which blew off their feud in 1983, existed, but nobody had ever seen it. Now we've all seen it if you got the WWE Network, and I'm going to talk with Dragon King Carl Stern, the WrestlingObserver.com website, to talk all about that feud, what led to it, and what he thought about seeing the match. When we get back from break, big doings, big day, happy day. I'm Mike Sempervivi, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Are you concerned about the effect bug repellent chemicals have on your family's health? Now there's Cedarside, an organic bug spray. Cedarside carries a suite of pest control products made from all-natural cedar oil. They kill and repel a variety of bugs, yet they're not at all harmful to people, pets, or the environment. To order, go to cedarside.com or call 800-842-1464. 800-842-1464. Cedarside. Effective pest control that's safe for people, pets, and premises.
It's time to gear up for fall at John Deere with a new compact utility tractor. Get 0% financing for 60 months, big implement bonuses, and our free 6-year powertrain warranty on versatile, easy-to-use John Deere compact tractors. It's time to gear up today and save. Offer ends October 28, 2016, subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. Terms, conditions, exclusions, and warranty limitations apply. See dealer for details.
Visit your local John Deere dealer today to take advantage of special savings going on now. Find out more at myjohndeeredealer.com.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Walgreens True Metrics and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street or a trip to the movies or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to aarp.org.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we are back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Mike Sempervivi. It's a new day, thank God, because if it wasn't, it would still be Monday, and we would still be having the possibility of either anticipating seeing or just having seen that old day skit which took place on Raw, and they just completely gave away that third hour. Again, just from what I saw tuning it in, it was like, you got to be kidding me. We got two games next week. We got two NFL games next week. So you're going to get killed anyway, but for God's sakes, at least try to offer some sort of resistance. Jesus, just don't throw your hands up. But they have. We'll see. I don't want to talk about that. You can if you want. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. But I'd rather talk about happier things, which take me back to a different time in professional wrestling. In fact, when it was professional wrestling and not sports entertainment. Dragon King Carl. Carl Stern of the Carl Stern Classic Wrestling Audio Show. He was the editor-in-chief of the Dragon King Press newsletter, the archives of which are available at WrestlingObserver.com for members who spend the $10.99 every month on the site. And he's also got another radio show as well, the After Dark Show that he has. And I could not think of anybody better to invite onto this program to talk about the debut of the Last Battle of Atlanta tape between Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer, their blow-off match from their 625-day feud throughout 1982 and 83 in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm very interested to know what all of you out there think as well, too. If you had been anticipating this and have finally seen it and are blown away by it, is it everything you expected? Are you disappointed? Are you a younger fan that heard all of this hype from us the last couple of days and have seen it and are now also blown away? Or are you disappointed? Do you not understand it because of time and place? Hopefully, if that's the case, Carl Stern and I can help you out a little bit with that. So without further ado, with me running my mouth, I want to welcome Carl to the show. Carl, haven't been on in a while, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Appreciate you inviting me on and talking about stuff that's really right up my alley. Folks who have listened to my show over the years know that, I mean, 1982, 1983, that is when I got invested in being a wrestling fan. I'd watched wrestling all the way back into the 1970s. As long as I can remember, I'd watched wrestling. But it seems like weekly, just really immersing myself in the magazines and in the wrestling. And for those pre-internet fans, I mean, that was the magazines were the internet of the day back then. We had to wait like 3 months to find out what happened in various organizations we didn't get weekly on television. And, you know, I watched this stuff every week. And 1982, 83 was really when I so deeply got entrenched in wrestling. And you're talking about the Last Battle of Atlanta, which October the 23rd, 1983, at the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. Mike, fate was terrible to me back then, because while WTBS 17 was largely, you know, the first superstation, people all over the country could get it, I lived in such a rural area of North Alabama that I didn't even get cable television, but I knew people that did. And so they would regale me with these stories of Georgia Championship Wrestling and the seemingly never-ending feud between Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer. And, of course, I got to see a lot of Tommy Rich from Memphis Wrestling, which I did get, so I'm very familiar with him. And then to read about this stuff in the magazines, I was just, you know, the last Battle of Atlanta there taking place in the Omni on really what's essentially the major house show of the week for Georgia Championship Wrestling, not like today where it's pay-per-view or some sort of cable special. This was, you had to buy a ticket and go there and see it. So everybody who was hoping for clips and some video of this was sadly disappointed when Georgia Championship Wrestling never showed it. They talked about it. They talked about the carnage, and that kind of built it up to be even more mythological than it should have been, really, because you got to hear, oh, Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer, they were just blood everywhere. It was just the wildest of wars. They'll never be the same again. And quite honestly, neither one of them really were the same again, although not necessarily for that particular match. But if you bought in hook, line, and sinker to the world of professional wrestling, it was a big deal. And the fact that it was kind of elusive and you only got these pictures from the After magazines and the Weston magazines made it even more, I think, intriguing. And as years went by, more and more videotape got out there, more libraries, all the stuff that's on YouTube and the WWE Network and all these rare gems. The one thing that we never saw a lot of was the last Battle of Atlanta. Where was it? Where's it been this whole time? You know, I still don't really know. I don't know anybody really has yet come out and said, hey, you know, I had the videotape the whole time. I don't know where it came from, but it finally, lo and behold, here in 2016, there it is, just out of the blue, really, with a little fanfare, dropped on the WWE Network today. And, of course, I sit here in anxious anticipation, waiting to see it and watched it within just an hour or so of it being dropped on the network. And finally just got to sit down and study this and watch it, and was very pleasantly surprised with the quality of it. The video quality is very good. There's no commentators, no commentary, just the crowd noise, the way it was meant to be, I think. I like to feel like it was.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's kind of what did you feel about it, Mike? I kind of had mixed emotions about it. It would have been impossible to live up to the mythology of it. I knew that before watching it. But I have to be honest, I was kind of pleasantly surprised it held up as well as it did.
I was as well, too. And before we even get into that, too, we'll probably move on to more of our thoughts in the next segment, because I kind of want to, might as well go through and kind of start framing this thing out a little bit, too, because there's probably some young people going, why did it take so long for this to get out? Why haven't we seen this? We've seen stuff going back. You know, we can see, I'm not saying regular TV, but we got, you know, the stuff from the Chicago Amphitheater is out there from the 50s, like it ain't nothing. You know, so what is it with this one and how it worked with a lot of these local promotions? They would not film the main events. Now, sometimes they would, and they'd stick them in a file somewhere, but a lot of times they would not tape the entire show on these main shows unless they had something that they wanted to show specifically. The whole point of the television were to get people to buy tickets to come see what happens live and to not have it out there on tape. And Atlanta was one of those places as well. You also got places like Atlanta that would be extra cheap, that would tape over tapes, and they would use them about a billion zillion times. You'll see that on the WWE Network sometimes, even when it comes to Mid-Atlantic, when they'll be showing a local promo spot, and it'll say, like, Baltimore in the bottom of the screen, but then in the distance you see, like, Philadelphia, because the old tape that they had taped over is bleeding through because they had used it so many times. So there was also a person that in the last couple of years, and I can't remember the name, but they were using a fake name, I believe, or it was a fake name that they were using, some sort of pseudonym, where they said that they had the tape, and a lot of people were going after this person, you know, trying to get them to release it. What would it take for you to release it? Is it money? What is it? So it had been floated around out there, and there had been lots of rumors of it, but when it stopped dead I guess it's been about a year ago now, I stopped really hearing any buzz of it. It was like, well, maybe it's going away. And this is just another thing like Gotch, Hackenschmidt, and like a lot of other stuff that we're going to be, you know, searching for forever. But realistically, if it hadn't made it out, it'll never make it out. And then lo and behold, WWE announces, I think with not as much fanfare as they probably could have, that this thing was possibly going to pop up on the WWE Network, and they played that teaser a couple days ago that went up online, which teased that they had the whole match. The catch with that teaser was they were showing Ole Anderson throw Paul Ellering into a cage, and they showed Paul Ellering in the little tiny cage that he was hanging in over the big cage before the match had even started. And when we get back from the break, we'll kind of frame the story out of why that situation was occurring, but that didn't lend me to thinking that the videotape was out there, or that there was going to be some sort of bait and switch, but then, like a light opening up from the sky, WWE Network announced that, no, we have the whole thing, and we're going to put it up in its entirety, which they did today, and that's what I'm talking to Carl Stern about. We'll be talking to you about it, too. We're going to be taking your phone calls maybe a little bit later on, 1-800-878-PLAY. I'm Mike Sempervivi. This is Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add four more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I'm Mike Sempervivi. Carl Stern here with me today. No Brian Alvarez. He will be back tomorrow, making his way back from another successful defense of the Canyon Beach Heavyweight Championship. I believe that's actually an open weight championship now. Anybody that can come to the beach that takes on Brian, he's like King Curtis Iakea sitting up there on his surfboard taking on all challengers at Canyon Beach. But that will wrap up, and he will be back tomorrow. But thankfully, Carl Stern is here with me because Brian couldn't talk about the last Battle of Atlanta like Carl Stern can. And Carl, before we get to our thoughts on the match itself, I just kind of want to set up a little bit of kind of what was going on into this feud, because this feud actually, technically, and if you go out there on YouTube, you can see the initial match that is kind of credited with starting this thing up on February 6, 1982, which was a match that Buzz Sawyer ran off a guy that was scheduled to face Tommy Rich, and they had a battle, and it was supposed to just basically be a start seed planted for their national title feud. Tommy Rich had just won the title about the month before that from the Masked Superstar, and Buzz Sawyer had gotten dirty. He and Kevin Sullivan, I don't think he'd gone dirty too much before this, but it started there, and then it just kind of never ended. No matter where they would go to, they would always intersect and weave back. And in fact, leading in, you would think in today's era, or how we are really, how we usually think about feuds, is this thing was raging and red hot and it just couldn't be stopped. And they had to put it in a blow-off match. But it wasn't necessarily the case with Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich, in that both guys were feuding with other guys leading into this. Buzz Sawyer just came off a feud with Roddy Piper earlier in the year. He feuded with Butch Reed. In fact, he had lost his hair to Butch Reed the December before, who was having a great run in Georgia. Tommy Rich, who was in and out with the national title, was feuding with Larry Zbysko over that. And ultimately, Zbysko would be going away, and Ted DiBiase would be making his way in, and he'd be with him. But this was kind of the odd feud in that, again, it wasn't raging. It just always bubbled under the surface and would come up in violent ways when needed.
Yeah, and I think they were both real good opponents for one another. There were, when you mentioned those names leading up to it, it also built on from that. I mean, it was just shortly thereafter that Brett Wayne would be national heavyweight champion, and they would build from that into revealing that Brett Wayne and Buzz Sawyer were actual real-life brothers, and that led to the babyface turn of Buzz Sawyer against Paul Ellering, and they would transition from that into a feud with, of all people, Jake the Snake Roberts, who was also involved in Georgia wrestling at that time and aligned with Paul Ellering. And I think really one of the things I got out of this last Battle of Atlanta tape was just really kind of how good Paul Ellering was. I really got to see a lot more Paul Ellering once he had the bad knee injury and started being just a manager. Everybody, I'm sure, remembers him most as the very intelligent, you know, Wall Street Journal reading, better than, smarter than everybody in the room manager of the Road Warriors. And, of course, he was exceptional in that role, but he was actually a pretty doggone impressive wrestler. He was a bodybuilder. He had done some power lifting. I think at one point in time he held some sort of, like, deadlift record. And he was actually a pretty doggone good for his size and for his build, a pretty good in-ring wrestler. And the half of the match of the Battle of Atlanta between him and Ole Anderson actually goes as long or longer than the Tommy Rich Buzz Sawyer part. I think it really detracted from things because of the lack of blood and stuff that was in the Ole Anderson Paul Ellering portion of the match. And it was really kind of complicated, too. And I know you've watched the build-up to the last Battle of Atlanta, and I've kind of watched what happened thereafter, less so than before. And so it makes a real interesting package leading up to it. Ole Anderson was something else in that time period, too. There's something about Ole that's, I don't know, he is a tremendous promo. I mean, he is one of the best guys on the mic you'll ever see. But something about Ole Anderson in the ring, to me, just, I don't know, Ole's just always this perpetually unlockable guy. And whenever he's playing the babyface role, I'm not so sold on it as I am, you know, gruff Ole the bad guy. But here in this particular situation, I thought was pretty good. But Buzz Sawyer was tremendous at being just a tough guy, just a dishing it out, looks like the high school bully. He's just a mean, mean guy. And at the same time, though, Tommy Rich is probably the best guy in the world at selling stuff. I mean, he is a guy that just sells. And so it was really a kind of a perfect perfect match.
The funny part with Ole, too, you know, at that point, Ole is not only, you know, a good guy again, he is selling, you know, people because he is the promoter of that territory. And it's funny when you watch him through those eyes, trying to be nice to people and be nice to the fans, and you see, you know of Ole Anderson, that was the biggest stretch in the world, Ole Anderson being a fan favorite good guy, because he was just so bitter and miserable. But his relationship with Paul Ellering was always very impressive, because they both Minnesota guys and all that sort of stuff. There was the tie-in there, and Ellering was very smart, and his stable was very, very big. A lot of people, when they hear the Legion of Doom, they immediately think the Road Warriors, because that was kind of the secondary name, but that was actually the name that he had taken from the cartoon. Meanwhile, back at the Legion of Doom, and that's the group that he had with Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase, King Kong Bundy, Larry Zbysko, Iron Sheik, Arn Anderson, Matt Bourne, those guys, a lot of guys that would come in and out. And it was the Arn Anderson situation which actually led somewhat with Ole and Ellering, because Ellering had a reign of terror going on, and we hadn't really had the Road Warriors yet. Arn Anderson and Matt Bourne had come in April of 1983, and they were going to be the tag team champions. Arn was not Arn yet. He was still Marty Lundy. And he came in for the first time as Arn Anderson, and we had a situation where they were going to be aligned with Ellering. Ole Anderson, who was already a good guy, wasn't really a big fan of his nephew or brother. I can't even remember how they had billed him. Arn Anderson coming in, and that was leading to tension between the two. But Matt Bourne ended up getting himself into some very, very real-life trouble, which we will not touch on right now. And he exited stage right in June when they were supposed to be the national tag team champions. In fact, I think they may have actually been. And they had to do a phantom title change for this brand-new tag team that just got slapped together. They were called the Road Warriors. And the Road Warriors would go after Ole. They'd go after everybody. And they would end up going after Arn, and they needed a way to get Arn out of there. He ended up turning good guy before he was leaving, kind of teaming up with Mr. Wrestling 2 and Ole by the time he would go. But that's what kind of the extension was, which, and of course with Jake Roberts, who plays a part in the match with Ole and Ellering 2, which kind of tied Ole into all of this stuff as well, too, of, you know, picking on the old man and picking on these good guys, which Ole didn't like, especially in 1984, because Ole was very much about America, as everybody was playing off that, and the Iron Sheik and all these evil people that were doing damage to America, and there was Ole trying to save everybody. So that's kind of how that one ended up playing into each other. And the match itself, now that we actually got it, you know, for me, again, having the chance to see everything, that was exactly what I expected that match to be. I know in today's era, we would have a 60-minute epic battle going back and forth and near falls and all that sort of stuff. But in this era, in the era of the Bruno Sammartinos, in the eras of guys like this, when it was time for the good guy to beat the hell out of the baby face, or the good guy to beat the hell out of the bad guy and walk away, that's what went down.
Yeah, I thought it was the match itself, as far as the actual in-ring work of the match, was pretty much standard fare for what was a steel cage match back in the day, which I kind of expected it would be. I mean, I knew it couldn't really live up to the mythological nature of what this match had been built up to be, but it was pretty much reminiscent of every steel cage match you've ever seen. What I think it excelled in is the fact of both Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich just sold this to almost to the point of death. I mean, Tommy Rich is bleeding like only Tommy Rich can bleed. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of blood Tommy Rich is bleeding in this match. And he's carried off. I mean, you would almost think the guy died later in the day or something. You know, it was so bad. He was just, it was alarming, actually. And then there lays Buzz Sawyer. He didn't jump up or you know, run around all mad about it. He was hurt. He had to be helped up. He had to be helped out. These two guys had been in a war, an absolute just crazy war. And even if you hadn't saw the match itself, just looking at these two guys, you knew something important had happened. And to me, it's really a tremendous lesson in wrestling psychology, just what they did after the match. I mean, leave out all the stuff with Paul Ellering and Ole Anderson and what happened next and all that good stuff, and just concentrate on the last few minutes after the pinfall that Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer are in the ring. And if that's all you saw of this, and if you just read saw the photographs in the old Western magazines, you would have thought this was just an absolute, you know, almost to the point of illegality, a battle between two people. It was just fantastic. Well, Tommy Rich always one of the best in the world at selling. And I have to give props to Buzz Sawyer, too, as a guy whose whole persona was just a tough guy, wouldn't back down. In this situation, he absolutely showed the scars of war, and I think it really, really made the match to me. That was the takeaway I had from it, was these two guys.
Well, Carl, actually, hold that thought right there. We'll actually be back from break here, press right up against it, and we'll be talking to you and getting some of your thoughts, too, because I know there's a couple of people holding on the line at 1-800-878-PLAY. We'll be back, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Pull out your smartphone and Shazam this now. Go ahead, I'll wait. GEICO presents the Shazam 15, featuring the top 15 Shazam songs in the U.S. Make sure you Shazam now to check it out. Interact with GEICO to gecko yourself and share it with friends. You can even get a free quote. Shazam now and experience more with GEICO. The Shazam 15, brought to you by GEICO. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
GEICO presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, GEICO has something worth sharing with those who haven't defriended you, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at GEICO.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Here's something to feel good about from Centrum Silver. Vitamin D was discovered in the age of dancing, the roaring 20s. Right on cue, because vitamin D plays an essential role in supporting strong bones and muscles. And just as dance moves have evolved, so is the importance of vitamin D. That's why Centrum Silver upgraded to our highest level of vitamin D3 ever.
Hey, wanna dance?
Centrum Silver, something to definitely feel good about. Check Sunday's newspaper for Centrum coupons.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Napa Know-How.
You don't need an air-conditioned steering wheel or high-performance supercharger to use Mobile One full synthetic motor oil. Now just $5.79 a quart at Napa. Mobile One offers premium protection for all cars, premium or not so premium. So give your ride Mobile One synthetic, just $5.79 a quart, even if it doesn't have the latest technological stuff. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States Pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 9/30/16.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I am Mike Sempervivi, being joined by Carl Stern of the Carl Stern Classic Wrestling Audio Show, the After Dark Radio Show, and former editor of the Carl Stern Dragon King newsletter, as well as the proprietor of the Stern Sticks, which I can with my hand on a Bible and the other one pointed up to the sky, I can say worth every single penny that you will pay for that. But I'll let Carl talk about that when we get to the end of the show. But for right now, still talking about the Last Battle of Atlanta debuting on the WWE Network. And Carl, right before we went to break, you talked about how this thing was almost, it felt like it was illegal. Like, you know, it was unsanctioned. It was untouchable. And in fact, it was. they decided to lean on Bob Geigel, who I think a lot of people who listen to this show would be semi-familiar with if they had never heard of him before, just because of the Nikita Koloff Magnum TA feud and the Best of Seven, which took place, which was pushed by the fact that Magnum TA had punched Bob Geigel, the National Wrestling Alliance president, in 1986, which ended up getting him stripped. And they would do this every once in a while. If an NWA territory had something hot, it had something big, they wanted to make it extra special, they would make sure to invoke the NWA name and their $45 membership fee and have Bob Geigel or whoever the commissioner or president was at the time get involved. And in, like he says in his speech leading in, they don't usually do a whole lot when it comes to local promotions. They deal with the champions, they deal with that sort of thing and figure that out. But when they heard about the fact that they were going to have a cage, that this was going to be the last match ever, it was something that the NWA just could not turn itself away from. And Carl, being as a guy, you talked about being from a rural area, you came up and you cut your teeth very hard on Southeastern Championship Wrestling. You also got Memphis on a regular basis. You had a chance to see some things. How important was that type of involvement from a greater power or from a bigger source, maybe one you'd only read about in magazines or hearing from people outside the territory that was stars? I don't think people realize that. I know we're only going back, we're not going back that far really time-wise into the 80s, but it was like, I mean, there were parts of the world that were straight up isolated that people today have got no clue about.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think the specter of the National Wrestling Alliance can be overstated back then. It was what gave the importance to what was happening. And I recently wrote an article that is up on WrestlingObserver.com about the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. And one of the things that I point out in there that has been long sorely lacking in current modern-day wrestling is that, you know, for the story of wrestling to make sense, it really needs to be two guys fighting over something worth fighting over. And the problem I feel like a lot of times with modern-day wrestling is they forget the over-something-important part. It's just conflict for the sake of conflict. It's heel general managers bickering endlessly about whatever, you know. But and championships often have meant very little aside from a rarity here and there. Back then in the territorial era, you had people fighting over something important. There was a group, as Gordon Sully used to always say, the oldest and largest sanctioning body in the world, the National Wrestling Alliance. And they would sanction the World Heavyweight Championship. And the guy in your area who might just be simply the Alabama champion or the Georgia champion or the Missouri champion, he was just a guy who had proved his dominance in that one particular area. But when the World Heavyweight Champion came to town, that meant he had a foothold to get a shot at the big belt, the World Championship, where he would then travel around to different territories. And so there was a reason. Why would two guys fight over a belt for just the state of Georgia? I mean, you know, really. The reason being is because it put them in contention for a larger, to be the world champion, to be the Super Bowl champion, to be the World Series champion, to be the top guy in the world. And then a lot of times out of that sprang forth personal rivalries, and they would fight for personal pride. And in this situation, like you pointed out, this feud grew out of a battle over the National Heavyweight Championship, a belt that in theory meant you were probably the number two or three guy in all of the National Wrestling Alliance behind the World Heavyweight Champion. And even though neither one of those guys, I don't think either one of them held the belt at this particular point in time, they had grown a personal rivalry out of that, out of battling for that. And so there you have your more soap opera type storyline going forward, but it started over something, it meant something, And it was a battle of personal pride. And I miss that type of storytelling. I think the WWE has done a real good job in, like, the Cruiserweight Classic Tournament. And I point this out especially with, like, Cedric Alexander, how I had not – look, I don't watch a lot of independent wrestling anymore. I had seen Cedric Alexander wrestle exactly twice in my lifetime when I was standing up cheering for him to be signed by WWE because he lost the match. He lost the freaking match. And I'm sitting there cheering along with everybody else when this guy signed, ever seen him wrestle twice. You just pointed out a few minutes ago that the Road Warriors get this Phantom NWA title. The amount of time it took the Road Warriors to be stars, zero matches. That's how long it took. They came out on TV with the belts and beat people up, and they were instant stars. So this idea that it takes years and years of pushing a guy up and breaking him down and building him up and breaking him down to the point of nobody cares about a Cesaro or something like that, I think is ridiculous. WWE has just done something totally different with Cedric Alexander. If they ride that momentum, you've got a potential guy who could be a star right there, and you did it in two matches. We've seen it done over and over again. Back in the day, as long as what you're fighting about is important, and in this case, with the last battle of Atlanta, it was the end of this feud. It was something important. And I think after this, Georgia Championship Wrestling continued to be hot for a number of years. Then political things happened. And, you know, it really was a truly unique time in pro wrestling history. But it's not so far-fetched that you could still capture some of that same magic today, even without the over-the-top violence of all the blood and stuff like it had. I don't even think that's necessary anymore, as long as the passion for something's there, just the storytelling. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, Carl, we're going to take it to the phones here in just 1 second. I just wanted to point out, because I know a couple people were like, they listened to Dave talk about the last Battle of Atlanta, and they seem to think that he downplayed it a little bit. One, I think the time I heard Dave talk about it, I don't think he even believed that it was out there. Again, this has been something that has been teased for so long. You know, it's like, we'll believe it when we see it sort of thing. But this is also, by the way, why people keep having a quest to work for these things too. And Carl, I know you got you've talked about that on your show before, you know, about them going out there. But one of the other reasons why is for a guy like Dave, and this, again, this now goes into time and place. When I was growing up, I didn't have access to cable where I was. We had a lot of, you know, wrestling on TV on syndication, but we'd have to go over every Saturday if we wanted to see it, and go over to a neighbor's house down the road some, closer to the DC line that had cable, and I get a chance to see it. So it was new to me to see guys like, Ronnie Garvin and Jake Roberts feuding over the TV title, and your Bob Roops and guys like that. And I always have kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling about that. But for somebody who had watched Georgia for years, you didn't have a warm, funny feeling, you know, a warm, fuzzy feeling. In fact, you had a funny feeling that things weren't going too well because you had so much great stuff happening. And I mentioned some of the names earlier. Now, Georgia had been rocking on national TV since 1976, I think, total, but really started popping around 79 nationally, especially, you know, and that led to a lot of northern tours and things like that. But think about where WWF was in 1984 in their national expansion. I'm going to give you some names that were in Georgia as superstars and were killing the superstation in 1983, you know, in 1982 and in 83, which, you know, leading into this time. Ivan Koloff, Paul Orndorff, Tito Santana, Roddy Piper, Don Morocco, Larry Zbyszko, the Iron Sheik, or I'm sorry, Zbyszko, take Zbyszko out of there, the Iron Sheik, the Samoans, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase. Any of those names sound familiar? Because they all were in WWF, and granted, some were in there before in different incarnations and things like that. But when they came back in, they were kind of using their personas like a Tito Santana. He was looked at a little bit differently. He was a single star in Georgia. Paul Orndorff, guys like that. I mean, they basically took what Georgia was doing on national TV, applied that to what they were doing, put some little stars in the WWE way around it, and they basically had the same stars. Tony Atlas. I don't think people realize how big of a star Tony Atlas was, but enough of me babbling about it. I know that people have been holding on forever, so get to the phone lines, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. If you got any questions for Carl Stern or any comments about the last Battle of Atlanta, or really anything else for that matter, John in Arkansas. John, how are you? Give John a chance to jump back on here, because I know he's listening in, because You can't listen on the phone line, I believe. Possibly,
yes.
Maybe. There we go. What's up, John?
I am listening to this, and I, too, watched the battle, last Battle of Atlanta, and I loved this. I love this old-school style storytelling, like what Carl's talked about. And I believe that that series of importance can be brought back if done in that context. And you see the walk up the ladder style stuff that just makes it work so well and makes things mean something when you do that, working up the ladder to get to the big championships. And just the emotion, you didn't need commentary. It sold itself. Plus, there are also another great treasure in that hidden gem is Ray Gunkel and Lou Thesz's match. You see Thesz imply some heelish tactics in his match, which, you know, we all hear these stories about how Lou Thesz was the good guy, but yet here he is using these, you know, some little underhanded tactics like back elbowing the guy off rope breaks and things like that, just little subtleties that are somewhat lost today. I want to see more of that back in there. And I agree with Carl on the Cruiserweight Classic thing. It has the fire and the passion that old type of wrestling storytelling has.
John, I want to thank you very much for the call, because I know we're going to end up being short on time. And we've got somebody else on the line too, but I want to let Carl kind of take that one of that style of storytelling. And, you know, Tanahashi actually is great at doing it. Naito was actually great at doing it, too, and he would get booed. Both of those guys in Japan, you know, they'd go to places where they were the pretty boys getting booed sort of thing. Kind of like the same thing John Cena would get, and they would employ those heelish tactics. Dory Funk Jr. is another one that was always great at that, too. But have you seen anything else from off of this this collection they've put out?
Oh, yeah, I watched the Ray Gunkel match he just mentioned, and that was typical of Lou Thesz. Lou Thesz, even though he was considered, and he wasn't really this clearly defined babyface type character like we think of. I mean, he was the dominant, take-no-crap kind of world champion. He was very much, he used a lot of heel tactics in his match, but it wasn't necessarily cheating tactics. He was just a rough style, and I think it made him stand out from a lot of other people. But, yeah, if you've not watched much Lou Thesz, Luthes is one of those guys that would fit in super in just about any era. He really, really knew how to work.
You know what? I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to do this. Jim in Virginia, I know you're on the line. Do me a favor, brother. You got to call back tomorrow. We're just too pressed up against it right now, unfortunately. The one match I can say that I think people should see that's also up on the network is Ric Flair, Barry Windham from the NWA Pro. I can't remember if it was Pro or Worldwide that it aired on in syndication, but 37-minute match from 1987 in January, February. I can't remember when it was, but definitely see that. Watch them when I was a little kid. They make it go the whole 60-minute show. Just absolutely amazing. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I've angered Jim in Virginia. Sorry, Jim. Call back tomorrow. Don't worry, the boss is here. He's better with time than I am. Mike Sempervivi, Carl Stern. Carl, my man, how can people get a hold of your work? Because I'm not even going to hype you up. I don't even have to bother to hype you up. I love your stuff. The research that you have done and put in has been just, it has been so invaluable to me. It's not even funny, my man. But tell people how they can listen to you and what you got going on and how they can buy your stuff.
That very much, Mike. It's very simple. I've got two shows coming up this weekend on WrestlingObserver.com. They will be a new classic wrestling audio show. I'm doing a long form, taking my time doing it, history of pro wrestling. Plus, I'll be talking more about the Last Battle of Atlanta. I'll also have a Dragon King Dark coming up Sunday, as always. Working on my own website, whenitwascool.com. I hope to launch that later this month. Do definitely check it out. It's not necessarily pro wrestling related, but if you like retro stuff, that's where I need you to go coming up later this month, whenitwascool.com. And, of course, on Twitter, I am at Dragon King Carl.
Hey, Carl, did you know it was Ted Knight that did the Meanwhile Back the Legion of Doom? Did you know it was him?
I did. I actually knew that.
It was so great. It's because every time I hear it,
friends,
Every time I hear that, I think of him either like in the college sweatshirt, like from Too Close for Comfort, or Caddyshack. Like, it's, you know, when his hair is all up, and how about a Fresca? Like, that's, for just some reason, I could see him back there as that's going on. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it does. I miss those things. I miss Harlem Globetrotters and Shaggy and all the crossover. We had better cartoons when I was little. I don't care what these kids have now. Gumball and all that, so it's good. You know, come on. Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez is back tomorrow. Mike Sempervivi here. Thank you, producer Dom. Thank you, all of you, for listening. We'll see you again. Have a great one. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.